Our God is indeed great, and what a great blessing it is to be here this morning. What an honor and privilege it is to gather before God in His presence with His people. And it's just a good day, a beautiful day the Lord has made, and we're just so thankful for that, and we're thankful for you and any visitors among us. We're grateful you made that decision to be here with us, and we want you to know your encouragement to us, and we prayerfully and hopefully are an encouragement to you. It is good to be back. We were on vacation this last week. We had a good vacation. You know how vacations are, you get tired. Right? You got to come home and have a vacation from your vacation, but it went well. We're grateful to be back. It is that time of year, of course. A lot of people taking breaks and on vacation, but it is always good to be home. And came back to see all the decorations for Vacation Bible School. And if you haven't had a chance, go down the hall in the classrooms and even in the annex. Look what a great job they did. My favorite's the tomb and the stone in front of the tomb they made out of a tent back there. We're just grateful for all the work they put into that. And so let's show our appreciation and participate in Vacation Bible School. Yes, adults, even if you don't have kids or grandkids, we are going to have adult classes that follow the theme of the Vacation Bible School this evening, of course, and then each night after, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So make it your goal to be a part of that. Now, since we were gone all week, my lesson that I made, thinking in advance, is I got to make an easy lesson. One that's just straightforward, easy to kind of prepare and to remember, because I knew I wouldn't have a lot of time. And so I got a very easy, straightforward lesson for us this morning. And you can open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and what I want you to think about, we'll get there in just a moment. You know, what if I were to tell you that it is absolutely impossible for me, or anyone else for that matter, to teach you anything? You see, anything you've ever learned, you've taught yourself. Now, this is my premise here. Right? No one's ever taught you anything. Now, people have shown you how to do things. Right? People have given you information. But it's your application of that information whereby you then taught yourself, right? Whether it was learn how to walk, tie your shoes, swim, reading, whatever you were shown, right? Even 2 plus 2, someone may have shown it to you, but it was your doing it. You kind of have that aha moment, right? And learn something, you know, ride the bike, catch a ball, whatever. You taught yourself those things because you saw a need to learn those things. Now, here's my point. Understand that you are in charge of your learning. Nobody can force you to learn. Now, they can create an environment where it will help you learn, right? So this morning here, let's talk about why we're here. And you see the passage up on the screen, Psalm 62 and verse 1. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. And let me ask you this morning here, before we get into our study text, are you confident in your salvation? As a child of God, if you're here this morning, you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, right? You obeyed the gospel the way that the Bible clearly says to obey the gospel. You did that. Are you confident in your salvation? Who's done this? You know, that moment right before you fall asleep? Now, you're kind of awake, but you're kind of, you know, just about to fall asleep. You ever have have you ever had that thought of, you know, if I don't wake up tonight, if I die in my sleep, if Jesus comes back, am I saved? Am I going to heaven? What will happen to me if I don't wake up? Well, this morning, I want to pass along some great news, right? If you've obeyed the gospel, understand that God wants you to have confidence in your salvation, right? God wants you to know some things, to learn some things. And so what I want you to do for this lesson, I want you to think big. I want you to elevate your thinking spiritually this morning. Let's think big together and look at our study text here. You know, God wants you to be confident with your soul's eternal destination, right? And a lot of Christians struggle with this. Yes, I know the Bible says this, to obey the gospel, I did that, but I'm just not as good as all the other brethren. Right? It just seems like they got it all figured out a whole lot better than me. So yeah, I know God says my sins are forgiven, and Jesus went to prepare a place for me in heaven, John 14. But you know, I don't know about me. Right? And so we have this struggle. And in that struggle, it affects absolutely everything else in our faith. Right? It's a tar baby. We get stuck in it, and we just can't seem to break free from it sometimes. So I want us to look at a few things here that God wants us to know from the book of Ephesians. And you know me, I'm all about context and big picture stuff here. So let me just do a little reading here, and then we're going to back up to our main study verses, chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. See, he begins in chapter 1, verse 1. He's writing this to the saints. This is a book for Christians. Right? Just like all up from Romans all the way to Revelation, that was written to Christians for Christians on how to live out our redemption. Then in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Read 13 and 14 with me. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in him also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is a guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. And then verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, the Christian, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So now we begin to try to figure out, well, what is this knowledge that he mentions in verse 17? And then we have verses 18 and 19 here, our main study text. Right? And so I want us to see, God wants us to see what we have as his people. And so he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, I'm reading out of the New King James here, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and number 3, verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. I wanted an easy lesson, right? Lord says there's a 3-point sermon for you, Sean, right there. Now, one thing about the book of Ephesians here is that the theme is all about walking worthy. And so, and another, I always say this also, a good way to remember the book of Ephesians is, of course, it's a book of compliance. Right? Written to Christians, it's like the Christian asks, Lord, how can I be compliant with you? And he's like, great question. Here's how you do it. Here's the book of Ephesians. And in that, a theme throughout the book is all about walking worthy. Right? And it's about our behavior. We're going to walk worthy to be compliant with the Lord. Right? And so you see that throughout the book. You know, in chapter 2, verse 1, he said, now, remember, this is how you used to walk. But you don't walk like that anymore. I've got a new walk for you. Then he talks about we were created to walk worthy in chapter 2, verse 10, and verses 1 through 6 in chapter 4, right, is how to walk worthy, and we'll read that in a few minutes, right? And then in chapter 5, walk in love, and verse 8, walk as children of the light, verse 15, walk wisely or circumspectly, and then he talks about in chapter 6, the whole armor of God, that protection God has given you in that walk. So that's what's happening here in the book of Ephesians. Now, going back here to chapter 1, God wants you to know something in all of this. Right? Remember, how to walk worthy, how to be compliant. We need to understand and know and learn what God is giving us so that we can have confidence. He wants you to know that if you have, for example, chapter 1, verse 3, verse 7, I read a moment ago, you now have spiritual blessings from God in Christ. All spiritual blessings are only found in Christ. If you're in Christ, you obey the gospel, you have access to these blessings. Right? Verse 7, you have this redemption, the forgiveness of your sins, and it's only by the blood of Jesus, by the grace of God. And now you're doing your best to walk worthy, remaining in compliance. He wants you to know these three things that we're going to look at in verses 18 and 19. The three main points of this lesson here. Right? Remember, Paul prefaces these three things here in verse 18. He said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding, or your heart and your mind, right, may be enlightened. I want you to know these things. He's saying, really, hey, I want you to think big. Think spiritually here. Elevate your spiritual thinking. Because if you can understand this, listen, everything's going to change. And your worthy walk is going to be in compliance. You're going to be doing it for the right reasons, glorifying God. And he said, I want you to see what's available to you. So, all right, number one, verse 18, our first of 3 points. He talks about what is the hope of his calling, right? God wants you, he wants me, he wants us to know what is the hope of his calling, right? What we have as a gift by his grace, right? And just think about it. God is saying, you know, stop worrying so much. Look what's available to you. Look what I'm giving to you in Christ as a spiritual blessing. Right now, when we read the word hope in the Bible, let's remember the biblical definition. Greek word elpis means a confident expectation. Right, that's the Bible's definition of hope. That's not man's definition of hope. Our definition is, you know, I hope I get a promotion at work. Right, so let's use the biblical definition here. But God has given us real hope, real confident expectation, and one of the best places outside of Ephesians that I can think of to understand this is in Romans chapter 8. Let me read a few verses here before we go back to Ephesians. Romans chapter 8 is just listed reason after reason why we should be happy as Christians. Right, it begins in verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Right, just right off the bat. And then in verse 18, one of my favorite passages, for I consider that the suffering in this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Right, you can live the hardest, most difficult physical life as a human in this world, but if you're in Christ, one moment in glory. You say, oh, I would do that 1,000 times for this just one moment in glory. It'll be worth it all. And in verse 19, Romans 8, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Let's drop down to verse 23. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body, for we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Right? This hope is our heavenly hope, the redemption of our bodies. You know, you can't kill a Christian. You can only send them to heaven. And I love that saying. I've heard it throughout the years, and what a powerful truth if you really think about it. You cannot kill a Christian. You can only send them to heaven. God wants you to know, not guess, not wonder, but he wants you to know that heaven is waiting for you. So if we can walk worthy, not flawless, but worthy. Right? Here's another mistake that we make. We think the walk has to be flawless. That's not what the Bible teaches. I know you're going to see that word perfect sometimes in English, but remember that's a Greek word teleos. That doesn't mean perfect when it's applying to us. It means growing in God's design direction. Right? If you could do it flawless, you wouldn't need Jesus. So it's not a flawless walk. It's a worthy walk. Let me read this. We'll move on to our second point here. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. That's the standard. It doesn't say walk flawless. The worthy walk is to do it with lowliness and gentleness of mind, with long-suffering and bearing with one another in love. That's the standard. Because there's a unity of the spirit that we're called, we're to endeavor to keep there, verse 3, and then we get into that series of ones, right? Again, mentioning what we have access to. So number one, let's remember the hope, a God-given hope and a God-given walk. Number two this morning, go back to chapter 1 and verse 18. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance? Now, if you just look at the words here in this phrase, you know, you can carry its meaning. We have riches, right? We have something of value. Matter of fact, back up to verse 11, same chapter. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, right? This is a gift, not just an ordinary gift. Next here in Ephesians, I'm just going to jump around a little bit. We don't have time to read it all, of course. We have a special inheritance, right? We get to share in God's glory. Jump over to chapter 3 and verse 16. And listen carefully here. That he would grant you, this is written for you, to you as a Christian, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, remember, think big here, with all the saints, what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Right, we have a special inheritance. I failed to read verse 12 in chapter 3. In him, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Right, you can start to see the riches, the inheritance, this power that we have access to. Yes, you, if you've been washed in blood of the Lamb. Not every Christian but you, but every Christian. And it's not about a flawless walk, it's about a worthy walk. It's about glorifying God in that walk and being compliant to Christ. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? I'll do it. If you back up to chapter 1 here in verse 5 real quick, I want to note another thing here before we move on to our third point. In verse 5 we read, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Right? This was the plan from the beginning. To share an inheritance with you, with anybody. Regardless of their past, regardless of the sins they've committed, regardless of their weakness and their failures, you get to start over in Christ. This has been God's plan from the beginning. And we have this inheritance. Listen, it's not plan B. Right? It's not an afterthought of God. This is God's plan from the beginning. Right? What was predestined was how we would be saved, the plan that gives us hope. Right? And how we would be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise in verse 13. How we would gain the hope of this calling and the riches of this inheritance. Right? All of this was meant to be, it was planned since the foundation of the world. Right? And this is all great and comforting news for us. And Paul explains a little bit further, chapter 3, beginning of verse 18. To me, who am less than the least of the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Christ. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known. It's knowable. There's a body of information that makes this plan knowable for you to search, to trust and obey, back in verse 11, chapter 1. And if you've done that, you have access to the power of God, all these spiritual blessings in Christ, the redemption, right? Forgiveness of sins. You have access to that grace that God desires to give to you. And he's explaining that those who have obeyed the gospel, they are sons of God, they're part of his family because of his kind intentions, chapter 2 and verse 7, right? We have a wonderful inheritance of Christ. This is God's plan for us, and he wants us to grasp this amazing fact and take courage in it, right? This knowledge helps us in our walk, in our goal, right? So number one, God wants us to know, what is the hope of his calling? Number two, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance? And then number three, our final point here this morning, what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards those who believe? Let's read verses 18 and 19 again. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. You see that word throughout Ephesians? I wish we had time to look at it any time to see that word know. Right? You can know. You don't have to guess or wonder. You can know. Body of information right here, God has given it to you. So that you can know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance of the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, right? To those who are in Christ, to those who've trusted and obeyed the gospel of our salvation. Same chapter, verses 11 through 13, that were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, according to the working of his mighty power. Now, in the language of the New Testament here, it's literally saying, what is the incomparable greatness of his power made available for us who believe, right? And so we logically ask, what is the surpassing greatness of his power? One of the best passages that I can think of is how Paul ends Romans chapter 11, this doxology, in verses 33 through 36, and he's quoting from Isaiah here. But let me just read this. All right, so think about the surpassing greatness of his power. An example of God's power. Romans 11, beginning verse 13 or 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Back in Ephesians, the third chapter, a moment ago, we read beginning of verse 19, but I want to back up to verse 14. Now listen, with that in mind, this is what God wants you to do. I want you to think of you, not the brother or sister sitting next to you. You think about you right now, your faith, the walk, your journey, where you are spiritually. God wants you to know this. In verse 14, for this reason, right? He just talked about confidence in his salvation. For this reason, verse 14, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the might through his Spirit in the inner man. Let's speak into the sheer power of God, the power of God within us that's available to us. You see, nothing, no one, when we can see this, when we fully understand this, nothing can stop us. Right? When we see this, we understand this, listen, no preacher, no elder will ever have to beg us to participate, to serve, to worship in spirit and in truth, right? To give as we should give, to whatever it might be. When we gather this concept that God wants us to know, everything changes. Now, what we have to do is to think big enough to realize this. And that's hard because, you know, we're so small, we're so finite. And God is infinite and so big and so majestic. This is where we don't think big enough. That's why I love verse 20 here in chapter 3. Let me read it again. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all the power that we think or even ask according to the power that works in us. Right? That really drives home the point. Now let's begin to wind down here. I want to read a couple passages here that really speak to this. These things that are available to us in Christ. What God has made available to us. Chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14. Let's read it again. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, right? A body of information. The Bible, the gospel of your salvation, whom also having believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is a guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Acts 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God's going to now look at us differently. We belong to him. Romans 8, 26 and 27, it says, in the same way the Spirit helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, and he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to his will. So, do you want the surpassing greatness of God? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 4, and then verse 8, we read that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, right? And that's our theme for the year. Talk about being vessels of honor. Listen, if you understand what God is wanting you to know, being a vessel of honor, it's not going to be an issue for you. Then in verse 8, therefore, he who rejects us does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Spirit. You want to share in the power of the Almighty? 2 Timothy 1 and verse 14, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Most of the time in our Christian walk, we fail to understand what we have access to. Now, I don't believe that the Holy Spirit guides us separate and apart from the Word of God, but that does not lower the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Right, it's a body of knowledge that we can go back to again and again and again and learn and study and be guided by God's Holy Spirit. Wonderful power we have access to. So this morning, by way of conclusion, I want to ask you here, really what I want you to remember from this lesson is to think big. Right, to elevate our thinking and really consider what we have access to. We're going to talk about in VBS in the beginning this evening here. Right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We're going to talk about the almighty and majestic creator who created everything with just the word of his mouth. We think about the vastness of the universe, all the way down to the smallest particle in your body. And he did it like that with the word of his mouth. He's the one that loves you. He's the one that's saying, Sean, I want you to see what's available to you. And I want that to guide you in a worthy walk. But you got to think big. God wants you to think big, and he wants you to know certain things concerning your faith. As we saw here in Ephesians 1, 18 and 19, God wants you to think big by knowing some faith facts and growing in them. Right? What is the hope of his calling? Right? Our Heavenly Father awaits us, right, as we do this worthy walk. And he wants us to grow in knowing what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance. He wants you to grow in knowing what is the surpassing greatness of his power. Right, guaranteed access to God through his Spirit. And Ephesians 1 and verse 7 reminds us, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. It's all by his grace. We don't earn it. We cannot deserve it. It's all by the grace of God. Let's remember what we have access to. And as we end this lesson here, it's our custom that we offer the Lord's invitation. We are going to sing a song of invitation here in just a moment. Brother Matt's going to lead it. And it's a time meant for us to think about where we are spiritually. Right?
here and you've never obeyed the gospel, you've never put on Christ in baptism, right? Because you love God and believe in Jesus and will repent of your sins and confess in the moment. If you've never done that, you have that opportunity. And understand, all spiritual blessings are only found in Christ, and that's what the Bible says you have to do to get into Christ. And then your cup of blessings overflows. If you haven't done that, let's call for you this morning. If you've done that, listen, we can walk away from our faith not walking worthy. We can lose our salvation. We can go back to a lifestyle of sin and stop caring about the things of God. But the good news is we can start over. This is an opportunity for that. If that describes you and you're honest with where you're at and your heart's been convicted, let us pray for you, pray with you, whatever it is you need. If you have any spiritual need this morning, please let somebody know as we stand.